Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, divorce mentor, specializing in conflict resolution, stress management, and moving on after divorce. I'm thrilled to do this show today with my special guest, Bruce Starr, who is the love coach. And this is the second time returning, so I'm excited to have him on the show today. We have a great topic. We're going to talk about the biggest problem in finding love today, and Bruce is going to steer us in the right direction. So welcome, Bruce.
Hey, Joni, it's great to be back on your show. I'm really excited, and I'm ready to have a good time with this very tricky and sometimes difficult subject.
It is. And I really am putting it out there that I know I work with people after divorce. That's who my clients are. But I really feel as though this topic is for everybody, whether you're divorced or getting into a relationship or just interested in starting a new relationship and single, never been married before. I think it applies to everybody. So let's kind of dive in here. So first of all, Bruce, give us a little bit of background about yourself and just what's led you to this passion that you have.
Well, I've been on a 40-year self-study to find out about relationships. I went to school in Boston and went to Northeastern University, so I know all about New England. And New England and Boston is a potpourri of people, 124 colleges and universities. And every September, there's like tens of thousands of new young 18-year-olds who came to town to experience life for the first time. And I was really thrilled to be a part of that. It was a lot of fun. But I didn't understand relationships. I didn't understand how they work, why they don't work. I didn't understand where some of the girls that I was really kind of crazy about, I don't know, they kind of were a little standoffish and really weren't interested. And the gals who couldn't quite really care that much if I was with them, you know, I couldn't loosen them up.
Yeah.
And this went on for years and years. And I went on, started studying several different philosophies on life. Ended up studying with some great masters and teachers in the world of relationships. And then about 15 years into it, I decided that I wanted to share what I was learning. And I started doing radio and television. And in 1993, this is probably one of the most interesting things. I heard about America Online. And I went in and I opened up a room called Relationship Coaching. And this room, Relationship Coaching, someone said, if you want to meet up with a lot of people and share what you're doing, you go to America Online. I said, what's America Online? I didn't know anything about it. There's only a couple hundred thousand people on at the time. And I opened up this room, Relationship Coaching. And if people were brave, they came into the room and they asked me questions. They said, well, who are you? And should I be asking you these questions? And I'd say, just try me. And so they did. And over a 10-year period of time, Joni, I worked with, had interviews with, had intimate discussions, documented discussions with over 6,000 people.
Wow.
And I found out what was preventing them from happiness. I thought I was in there to share all my stuff, but boy, after a while, I listened to their stories and I realized where so many people were going wrong. But what's so crazy about it is it's so accepted. It's so natural for this reason for being in relationships and why to be in relationships and how to approach it. Everybody was doing it that I think a whole generation of people fell into like a cloud.
So tell me more about this. What do you mean as far as what was accepted? What did you feel that you felt was accepted?
Here's what happened. Over and over and over, I heard about people that were 15, 16, 17, 18 years old falling in love. What a beautiful feeling that was, that first love. I hope everybody had it. There's nothing like it. It's just you're just open. There's no baggage. There's no luggage. There's no negativity. Unless you came from a dysfunctional family, which John Bradshaw said that a vast majority of us do. But if you weren't coming from too terrible a place, you were able to express love without holding back. And that was fantastic. But if her parents, his parents, your parents got in the way, if she changed her mind, if he changed his mind, if she went off to college and left and broke up with you, especially a guy, Joni, I know everybody hurts from having their heart broken. But a guy, and I'll talk about this, may never recover from getting his heart broken. So you ladies, when you wonder why us men are so retarded, especially in relationships, that's why. Because we never get over that initial heartbreak. I mean, men, we were as open to love and passion as anyone. Believe me, we were and are. But if we get our feelings dashed, it's one of the scariest things. And many of us make a pledge, I don't ever want to feel that way again. And so that's where I'm coming around to answering your question. To remain social, to remain out there, we made a choice of closing off our hearts, protecting ourselves, and switching from choosing with your heart the old-fashioned way. Oh, he's so sweet. She's so kind. She's so good to me. She's so warm. She's so loving. That stopped.
You know something, and what you're bringing up too, I'm thinking for women or men as well, not only be getting hurt, but how about if, you know, I see people get married because it's the right thing to do. You know, they're solid or they're reliable, dependable. And I remember different people would say, and that's love, you know, so what happens? Where's the love? You know, so maybe we're on the same path here. Not only do we get hurt, but we go for security. We go for the right thing to do. Do you think that's part of it as well, Bruce?
You go from choosing from your heart to listening to what everybody tells you what to do, to thinking about the best deal.
Yes, that's really well put. I love it.
When you come from your heart, you don't talk about cold things like, does he have enough money? Is she sexy enough? Are her boobs nice enough? Is her butt, or is her face? Those are all intellectual approaches. Right. And then if you see down below my name, it's called Body Traders. Don't tell my wife that. She hates that website. Don't let her know I told you about that. But Body Traders is a word that I made up for people that go from choosing with their hearts to choosing with their heads and going into this body trading. I'll give you what I have if you have enough of what I want. And a woman, stereotypically, don't hate me, if you have enough money, funds, if you live in the right house, drive the right car, I will give of myself to you. And the guy says, if she's sexy enough, if she's pretty enough, if she makes me look good walking on my arm, I will give up what I have. Those are all intellectual choices and decisions that are the foundation of a disaster.
Not built on love. No, not built on the heart.
And we talked about this right before the show. When people make these intellectual choices on who they should end up with, it's more of a negotiation. To me, it's horse trading.
That's good.
Or what I call body trading. You're making deals with each other. You might not talk about the deals. Oh, actually, you do. You do sign deals, don't you? In those situations.
But I think it's a lot of people are unconscious about it. I think a lot of it.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And they really want things to work out so well. But the problem is, and it'll always be, you know what? We're born pure spirit. Mm-hmm. Those babies, the reason they're so lovable, they're so pure, they're so lovable, you just want to hug them and kiss them. They're all love. And we're all born that way. But when we start taking this different approach to relationships, it's like stepping in somebody else's shoes where the size is three sizes too small, and you're forced to walk around because it's not our natural state. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, I totally agree. I call it actually, people kind of send in their representative for the first 3 months, and that's kind of on the same side, but on the same topic. But, you know, we're not being upfront and, you know, part of it too is, I know we always say be authentic with yourself, but a lot of people don't even know who they are to begin with. And that is a different representative that they're showing. Or we always want to show our good side or something like that. But what we talked about too is getting back to the basics. So what would you say, how do you help a person who starts to realize this, becomes more conscious and says, you know what, I want to have a relationship based on the heart. And I'm not going to go for where it's safe or where that's the person has, you know, good looks, good, you know, has the money or finances, got a good job, secure, you know, how can you help a person? What would you suggest a person going back to basics?
I make it very simple. I have what's called a pie theory, mm-hmm. not a pizza pie. I like to think of it as an apple pie. When you're 15, 16, 17, 18, and you meet someone, you're offering a whole pie. It's all there, the crust, the fruit, everything. It's so delicious. Everybody's just going wild with passion and goodness and love. If you get your heart broken, from that point on, there's a chance that you will only offer half of that pie to the next person. Hmm. And if you get into doing some activities, listen, I love the concept of internet dating. The concept is great, but people go about it many times the wrong way. They get addicted to it. They go off of their cocaine addiction. They go off their drinking addiction. And they found a new addiction, finding someone on the internet. Okay? Now, when you do that, when you date, you're going to get your, whether you think you're putting your heart out there or not, if someone rejects you, there's so many more chances to get rejected on the internet that every time you do that, you give away a piece of that pie even more. It's like I look at a bartender, male or female, they get so stone cold from all the people that come on to them. Their heart is absolutely stone cold. By the time you're done, gone out dating and you're hurt and you've been rejected and you're hurt, you have no pie to offer. And you're hoping that there's another person out there doing the same thing you are with an empty pie tin. And you're hoping that by banging them together, you're going to find a relationship. No, that's not the way. Only in the movies or on TV.
Yes.
There's no foundation for love there. It's all anger, desperation, all the negative adjectives. So here's what I tell them. I say, stop dating. Don't hate me. Stop dating. Do what you have to do to regrow your pie.
Yes.
Meditate. Go to meditation classes. Do yoga. Go to yoga classes. Jump in the ocean, not up by you in the cold.
That's called a dunk, an in and out.
Go into nature. Hug trees. Plant. Do things that bring you back to love and kindness and innocence. You can regrow your pie. Because I remember for years that if there were two girls I wanted to date and one of them was sexy and beautiful and she looked like, boy, she was dating, right? She was dating, going out here. And there was another girl who was much plainer, but much kinder, and she hadn't dated in a year or so. That's who I wanted to meet. Mm-hmm. I knew she took the time to regrow her pie and she wasn't offering me an empty pie tin. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm suggesting that everybody else does. And everybody else is speeding up.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. In fact, being in the divorce arena here, and I talk to my clients and I always say to them, before you start dating again, and it's very common for people to do that, kind of the rebound reaction, or they're lonely, that type of thing. And then they jump right into another relationship. And I said, you know, you don't want to turn around and marry again or get in a relationship with the person you just divorced. You got to come up for air. And especially if people have been married for 15, 20 years, you lose yourself. You don't even know who you are. So you really need that clarity. And like you're saying, you don't even have a pie to offer.
You know, when you go to college, and, you know, if you come from a very like strong-willed family, you're supposed to get engaged in your sophomore or junior year.
Yes.
And then when you graduate, you're supposed to get married. So your whole life is built for you, and you haven't had time to find out who the heck you are, like you're saying. And then you go into that marriage, maybe for a year or so, it's great, sexy. Boom, you get pregnant. You become a different person. You're a wife. You're a mother. You're, you know,
career person, but you're trying to do it all. And still, I think people going through the actions unconscious.
There's no shortcuts, Joni. There's no shortcuts in getting busy with work and getting busy making babies. We all came here to find out who we are and who we are. Mm-hmm. We are powerful spiritual beings capable of great love, loving others and accepting others. But if we get too sidetracked from that, it's going to be tough.
Let me ask you this, Bruce. I see all the time on different talk shows, and I watch different shows that are all about relationships. And, you know, people are, you know, they start panicking and saying, you know, I'm hearing the pressure from family. I'm in my 30s. I'm not married. I haven't really found anybody yet. And you know, they just get really, you know, nervous, and they start jumping into anything. Is that something that you see a lot today too?
They're not listening to their own hearts.
The push is on from other relatives and things.
Especially when you don't look like you're doing a very good job, then all of a sudden people are going to come in and give you all this information. It's going to make you lose more confidence. You need to get centered.
That's perfect. Yes. And know who the heck you are. I always say to people, what the heck is the rush? Take the time, especially after divorce, come up for air, rediscover yourself. That is probably my primary thing that I want to do, is help them rediscover who they are. And I know I had to do that. I was married for 20 years and I thought, oh my gosh, I've been a mom, I've been career, a wife. Who the heck am I? And you're really not in any position to offer that pie. Where do you think, as far as, I love the way you worded it here, is where we went wrong. Oh, you talked about that. But as far as, you know, how to get back on track, how do we help people? But you talked about, especially for ladies, you have double duty. So how do we help the ladies, but how to help people get back on track?
Oh boy, that's a loaded question. I'm going to get back to that double duty in a second.
Okay.
But first I want to talk about that. Before you can give something, you have to have it first. Physics, pure physics. But people are thinking to themselves, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go and find someone, even if I don't love them. And if he has enough of what I want, she has enough of what I want, that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have love first. You have to have self-love.
You've got to love yourself first, right?
You have to have an appreciation, and it doesn't happen. And I'm sorry, but there's a whole generation right now that has gotten so busy that they've gone way far away of finding out who they are. But that's exactly what we have to do. If we don't, we will constantly be bouncing off of walls, bouncing off of people, bouncing off relationships with no firm foundation. This is not great news for a lot of people, because they want to hear the love coach tell them how to get lucky, how to find someone quick. You know, love is not quick. Love takes 9 months to be birthed.
Mm-hmm.
Just like giving birth. It takes 9 months from the time you meet someone, true love, before you. I remember this happened in college. I was with this, my first love, and all of a sudden, like 9 months later, it was like, boom. It's like, oh my God, what's happening to me? Oh my God, I'm falling in love. And I never forgot that. And it's true. It doesn't happen quickly, folks. It takes time. It takes nurturing. Now, you talked about double duty. This is a very loaded, another reason for people not to like me. Sorry. I'll be as kind as I can be. You talked about a woman with this new generation. Not only is she a mother, not only does she have to be a wife, but she has to have a great job too. Three full-time jobs. And she has to sleep too, right? Now, in the last 20 or 30 years, the roles of masculine and feminine have been terribly mixed up. And women have had to become so much more masculine to make it in the business world. It's the way it is. And this is, men have basically stayed the same, but women have changed the game because they've gotten much, much more masculine in nature. Now, they think, just like men now, that if we pull off this deal, we'll get a relationship. Relationships don't work that way. It's like oil and water. Now, it's wonderful being masculine at work, competitive at work, you're making good money, but it's not a female's natural state. Fred Flintstone and Wilma Flintstone, you know, 10,000 years ago, more of that natural state. So a woman who has become masculine in nature, she's wondering why she can't find anybody. It's because two masculine energies don't work. And two feminine receptive energies don't work. So what's happened now is women being much more masculine in nature, men are sort of sitting back. We don't know what to do. We're sitting back and we're waiting for the women to go up to them, which is happening.
Oh, it is. That's, yeah.
Now, men will say, that's great, man. What's the problem with that, love coach? There is a problem. Men, by nature, want to pursue the love of their life. They want to win over the love of their life. They want to be there. They want to be important. They want to be needed. But with these switched roles, with the women picking the men, the man will go, if a man is decent looking and he smells good and looks good and has the right clothing and tells people all about the car he has, he can go, yes, no, yes, no. The problem is he's not doing the picking. So he's not finding anyone to bring home to mom, the one he really wants to be with. So I'm going to answer your question now.
Okay.
The woman has double duty. She's aggressive at work. She needs to come home and bring out her feminine side. Dr. Pat Allen, my mentor, she wrote in my book, great lady, this is her work. The woman needs to come home after a tough day at work, put the candles on, put the incense on, take a warm bath, and calm down.
Switch
and
gears.
Let that feminine side return to her so that when that masculine, aggressive, assertive male that she wants to be in her life, she can be the receptive feminine, and then you have a match.
Now, Bruce, do you think also if the man is able to respect the woman for what she does in the workplace, and I know a lot of the young men today like having the woman make the money and they're both working together. So that's the vision of the younger people versus our generation. But as far as if the man is secure in his position and he says, you know, hon, I so appreciate what you do. Let me take over and get dinner started, and you go and take a shower or go relax. And, you know, I find that the man that's also conscious of this and respects it and appreciates it and values that to the woman then is more receptive to say, wow, thank you so much. And I appreciate you starting the dinner and not waiting for me to get home to start it. So you think that way it can help too, if the man comes from that point of view?
I make dinner. I do a lot of things around the house.
I think it's great.
But you need to leave room for the man to be in your life. Think of some of the women now that can't find anybody. They leave no room for the man to be the man in their lives. They do everything. Mm-hmm. A man wants to be needed. Mm-hmm. Wants to be wanted.
Now, I think too, and I know a lot of independent women of all ages, they basically have learned to, you know, they said they let go. They trust if the man that they love, they trust them. They're very happy to relinquish that, to say, boy, you know, feel free to throw the laundry in and feel free to make dinner and feel free to do this. It just helps me relax and not worry about those things. I think where I see a lot of the women having conflict is where the man still expects the woman to carry that load and not meet her at home halfway.
I'm going to say, Joni, that the woman in that case is remaining masculine and aggressive in nature. Mm-hmm. And she's forcing, I don't mean in the bad way, but I'm just using that word.
Okay.
Forcing the man, if he wants to get along with her, to be feminine and receptive to her needs and desires. Now, one is not more weak than the other, but it's mixed up.
But don't you think that's, I mean, the way it has to be today, where the woman isn't doing it all? And I don't look at the man as being feminine. I look at him as being aware.
But I'm trying to make you, this is Dr. Pat Allen's work.
Okay.
I was in her audiences when she spoke to Hollywood agents, managers, actors, producers. Mm-hmm. This is what she said. There's no halfway.
Mm-hmm. So if, so what can then, so if the woman is relinquishing and being more feminine at home, and so in order for her to go take that bath and relax and unwind, don't you think she needs to have a man who allows her to do that or helps her to do that?
She needs to pick a masculine man. Mm-hmm. But what's happened
without ego.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always ego involved with relationships.
Yeah. Yeah,
and this is not a perfect system. What I'm trying to do is simplify it. I can't tell you, is she going to pick an egomaniac? Is she going?
No, but I mean, as far as I just think, you know, like you said, if I think it's great if that woman has the ability to go and relax and unwind. What I hear a lot from a lot of parties is that they can't do that. They're like last on the list because their expectations of having dinner on the table, you know, doing this, doing that. But I'm finding a lot more happier people when they're communicating and consciously meeting in the middle. And really the roles aren't masculine or feminine. They're just like, hey, we're a team. We're going to work together to make this happen. And if you go give the kids a bath, I'm going to go and unwind and relax so that we can be together when everybody's in bed. You know what I mean? So
yes,
that's where I'm coming from.
I'm going to bring this to the very beginnings of the relationship. I'm going to try to simplify it. Who spoke to who first? Did the man see the woman and say, wow, I want to get to know her and approach her? Or did she do the masculine thing and say, geez, I don't feel confident that he's going to come up to me and he's really cute and I really want, I like what he looks like. I'm going to go up to him. As soon as you do that, Dr. Pat says, you become mama.
Trust. And so trust the process. Yeah.
That is the foundation of that relationship forever. If she's the one that makes that first choice, does the approaching, does the talking, and he just kind of sits back, that's it. It doesn't change. So what I'm saying is I can't undo this divorce thing or being a husband and wife Of course they have to share. Of course. But what I'm trying to center in on is when you meet someone, if you're a female, you need to get back to the basics. And that is allowing the man to approach you and be the man. And you be the receptive one to say, yes, no, yes, no.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what we have to get back to.
And I can see that. And guys love that. They love to be able to do that. And like you said, you know, do the pursuing.
We don't feel needed or wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Fred Flintstone. We don't feel needed or wanted if you can do everything and don't hardly leave any room for us. We do want to fix up around the house. We don't want to be demanded upon, but we do want to be there. We want to show you how smart we are. We want to show you how capable and able we are. But so many women think of men as so dumb now. And, you know, that's only going to hurt them.
That's right.
If they think of men as unable or dumb or what's the matter with them. So it's, again, we keep talking about getting back to basics.
Yes.
And letting the man approach you. Now, women come up to me all the time and say, love coach, he'll never find me. He'll never come up to me. Well, number one, you have to have more confidence than that. And number two, I suggest you do two things that are the most powerful things that anyone can do to attract someone. Look at them. Don't look at them for a second and look down. That's a show of disinterest or a game player. Mm-hmm. You don't want to show you're too available? Oh, I'm looking down.
It's true.
Look at them for 1, 2, 3 seconds. 4 or 5 seconds, you start to look like someone they need to watch out for. But don't look away from them. And when you make that eye contact with them,
smile.
1, 2, 3 seconds. If you do that, you will make it easy for that man to come to you without feeling he's going to get rejected. We don't want to get rejected, especially if you're sitting with one or two of your friends. Forget it. Mm. You go in packs, we're going to get embarrassed in front of your packs. If you're interested in someone, smile. Let them know that you think he's interesting. That will encourage him to come over and talk to you. And then you have a chance for that relationship to get on board. Now, if he doesn't come over and talk to you, maybe he's gay. Maybe he's married. He's just not interested. That's okay.
Next.
That's the way you do it. It's the way it's been done for 10,000 years. Mm. Don't go away from that.
Mm. And to me, that's such a common, I mean, it's just a natural thing to do. You know, just to look at somebody and smile. I mean, I know.
But they don't do it, Joni. If you go into a bar, horrible example. They don't want to look because he'll think I'm too available. I don't want him to think I'm available. I'm going to look down. Well, how the hell is he supposed to know to come over to you? It's a game that everybody has to let go of. Mm. It's don't play the game and think you're going to get the person that you want. Because if you do that game thing, you'll just find another game player and you'll be in that spinning wheel.
Just let it go and be yourself. You know, let it go and just be yourself, be natural, and not to say that if he even comes up to you that it goes anywhere, but maybe you have a quick, short conversation, but yet, you know, it doesn't hurt to be friendly and just open.
Kind, friendly.
Kind is true. Very kind.
Enjoy life. There's nothing more attractive.
Well, you know, I think you can take that kindness across the board. I mean, so many people are hung up on their tech stuff today. And, you know, you observe families. Nobody's talking. Everyone's got some kind of an iPad or an iPhone in their hands. And to me, I come from a retail background many years ago. And the biggest thing is service. And service is such a short thing. I mean, it's almost getting scarce that you get service anywhere. But we always did when anyone came into the store, the first thing we did, Bruce, is we made eye contact and said hello and smiled. Hello. And it's getting back to basics like that for a relationship.
It is. And love is all there is.
Yeah.
I'll always be able to say that. So there's two things you need to forgive.
Yes.
The other person. And we could do another show just on that.
And we're going to, Bruce.
And forgive yourself.
Yes.
If you hold grudges against yourself and you hold grudges against other people, mm-hmm. you make a division that cannot be broken.
I always say let go and just, you know, be. Let go. And
it's
then
easy to say that, you know, it's easy, but I live it. In the next show that we do, I am going to explain forgiveness that works. The forgiveness that's being thrown around, religious forgiveness, turn the other cheek. What good is that? I'm not getting anything out of that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show anyone that really wants to open up their heart how to forgive in a way that will make them feel not just good, but great. That's about their experiences that they were holding grudges on for years and years.
Well, Bruce, this has been a great show. To me, you just put it out there and really we're up front with people. And that's what people need to really hear. And it's getting back to the, you know, the old fashioned way of just communicating with people and touching and talking and relating that way. So, Bruce, I want to make sure.
No texting.
I know. I was just going to say no texting. Put that text, that iPhone.
The first 6 months, don't text. Let there be mystery. Don't let them know where you are every second. Where were you? You didn't text me back. Don't text. If you're going to be late for an appointment for 15 minutes and you need to text, fine. Do not text. Please don't do it.
I know. That's what's happening. And, you know, just like email, texting gets misunderstood. And that's where there's a lot of stuff going on that doesn't need to be. You know, I still come from the old-fashioned way. It says sometimes I just say to people, you know, we need to pick up the phone and talk.
You know, Joni, I want to offer the people that are watching this show, I like to offer them a chapter of my book. If they'll just contact me at Love Coach, LUVCoach @AOL.com, the first and original. I've had that address since 1993. I will send them, if they mention that they saw me on your show, mm-hmm. I will send them a chapter of my book that will help a lot of people.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, Bruce, once again, they can also reach you through your website, but your email's the best, what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Great, super. Well, Bruce, I'm thrilled that you were on the show today. I will definitely want you back because there's a lot of good stuff to continue to share and help people through this. You know, it's a very... Oh, it's the most important thing in a person's life and to have that love and the love that you can enjoy and trust and have an open heart. That's what it's all about. So, Bruce, thanks so much for being on the show.
Great to be here, Joni. We all need to join the open heart movement.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Thanks again. And bye-bye. Also to our listeners, go to divorceview.com where you'll see this video ongoing and watch it as many times as you like. And also we are now a podcast and you'll have the link there to listen to in case you are on the run and you can't sit down for the video. We also have a podcast. And also to learn more about me and all my coaching that I do for women, go to freshstartafterdivorce.com. So Bruce, thanks again. Thanks to our listeners, and we'll all see you soon. Take care.